read Psalm 27 tonight in connection with Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. That's found on page 7 in the back of the Psalter. First, we read the Word of God in Psalm 27. And this is the holy and inspired and infallible Word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thus far we read the Word of God, turning now to Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In question 27, what dost thou mean by the providence of God? We have a question that gets at the definition of providence. Here's the answer as a definition of providence. It is the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Now that's not going to be our focus so much tonight. That providence is God upholding all things and governing all things by his hand. But our focus is going to be on question and answer 28. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? And this first part especially is what we focus on. That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Thus far we read the word, or thus far we read from the Heidelberg Catechism tonight. We consider Lord's Day 10, and I ask you this question to begin with. What do you want? What do you desire? Now we know that we are here tonight not to seek what we want, but to know what God wants. And we know that life isn't about us, it's about Him. But we have desires, and it's good for us to examine those desires, those wants that we have. One of the ways that sometimes, providentially, God makes us think about what we want is when our birthday comes along. One of our daughters will have her birthday tomorrow. And we're familiar with the idea of a birthday list. And when someone says, give me your birthday list or a Christmas list, that's a time when we think about what we want. More importantly, though, think about spiritual things and what you pray about. And think about what you ask, make requests for in your prayers, showing God, this is what I want. And I could go through a list of examples. Here are things that you might say you want for your birthday, or here are things that you might be saying you want in prayer. But I'm going to ask you this question next. Is patience on your list? Do you want patience? And do you pray for patience? Naturally, that's not what we want, is it? Naturally, we don't value a spiritual gift or virtue like patience. But this is a very valuable Christian virtue. Quite frankly, naturally, I don't want to have patience, because that implies that there's probably going to be a need for patience in my life. I don't want to have patience in sickness. I don't want to have patience in dealing with a drought or poverty. Patience is not very high on the list. And what we need to see is that God does want us to have patience. How do I know that God wants me, that He wants you to have patience? Well, He tells us that in the Bible, and we're going to see that tonight in the course of the sermon. But we know that by experience, don't we? Why do I have so much trouble in my life? You may be asked that. Why does God not always give me health? Why does God not always give me what I want in my job or in my family or in the church? Why does He give me suffering? And you know one of the answers, don't you, to that? There are other answers, but one of the answers to that is because God knows I need to learn patience. And He wants me to learn patience. And He's telling me that when He sends me adversity. And I'm a slow learner. And so He patiently teaches me through more and more adversity. God has been teaching us as churches patience. Each one of us should reflect on our own lives, our own family lives. But one of the reasons why I thought it would be good to preach a sermon just focusing on the need for patience in adversity is that it does seem, at least to me, and maybe many of you can relate to that, that for 7 to 8 years, God has been sending blow after blow, that is adversity after adversity, upon our churches. And we begin to wonder sometimes, when are these circumstances going to change, and when are things going to go back to normal? Whatever that might be, I find myself struggling to be able to define what would normal be. But I know things are different now than they were, say, before 2015. And I think, wrongly, to myself, if only things would go back to normal, circumstances would be ideal, it would be better. And then you come to Lord's Day 10, and you recognize that the Lord is saying, no, don't focus on that. Avoiding your suffering, getting rid of your adversity. But see the need for patience. And if suffering comes, God is saying, this is good for you. And this is what is better for you. I want you to learn patience. Now, what is the key to patience? Two things by way of introduction. Number one, faith. If you do not have faith in God, you cannot have patience. But faith in what? Second thing, the catechism tells us that the answer is you have to have faith in the power of God's providence. Believing in providence. Believing that this creation, this world, your family, your work life, your church life, believing that none of it is being controlled by chance. None of it is being controlled by any other force, but by the hand of your God. If you don't believe in God and His providence, well, you don't have any basis or reason to be patient in adversity. You have reason to be angry, you have reason to be frustrated, you have reason to be hopeless. But if you look for refuge in God and His providence, you have a refuge indeed. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. There's His refuge. In the secret of His tabernacle or house shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. By His power of providence, God protects those who look to Him in faith. So when you confess in your life, not just tonight now, but in your adversity, you say, I am going to put my faith in God. I'm going to trust in His providence. You find the reason and the power to be patient. So let's consider tonight this theme, patient under God's providence. First, the attitude of patience. Secondly, the life of patience. So you have the inner attitude. How's that going to come to expression in your life? And then thirdly, the benefit of patience. The attitude of patience is an attitude of faith that says with the church in every age, with the psalmist in Psalm 27, I believe in God, and I will look to God. He is my light and my salvation near. And I believe in God's power over the creation. I believe in God that He is upholding heaven and earth and all things in them. I believe in God that everything that's happening in the whole world round about me, everything that's happening in all of the nations of the world, everything happening in the church, everything happening in my family, everything happening in my individual life is controlled by the hand of my Father. The attitude of patience is the attitude of faith or the confession of faith that says God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. And so, yes, in good times, I will respond to God. There's the attitude of patience. Recognizing, believing, confessing the sovereignty of God over all things, I'm going to respond to Him. When things are good, I will be thankful to him. Of course, when appropriate, I'll thank my parents. I'll thank my employer. I'll thank church members. But ultimately, my thanks is to the God who by his hand has given me this time of prosperity. But now, especially in adversity, this is the attitude of patience. Confessing the sovereignty of God, when this trouble comes upon me, I will respond to him. If you are impatient, then what Lord's Day 10 is teaching is you're sinning against God. When you're impatient, perhaps you are simply ignoring God. I will not acknowledge God. Or perhaps you're acknowledging him and you're angry with him, or you're doubting him and you're impatient. It's sin against God, who's in control of the situation. What we are called to do is be patient, to receive what God by his hand sends into our life in a way that shows we know it came from him, and we trust him, and we love him, and we want to show that in the way that we behave in adversity. Now, let's make this concrete tonight by looking at the two things that we often think of that might cause us to be impatient, and that Scripture does address and says about these two things. Now, you be patient. And I ask you to think about this. What is it in your life that challenges you the most? People? Do they make you impatient? Or tempt you to be impatient? Or circumstances? In Psalm 27, David speaks in verse 2 of enemies. And then throughout the psalm, he speaks of the fact that he is troubled by these people who are attacking him and making life very difficult for him. And maybe some of you can relate to that tonight. You can say, there are people who hate me and who are doing no good. They're persecuting me in my daily life. But we're not going to focus just on that tonight. Some of you might not be thinking it's not my enemies. Everybody really in my life bugs me from one time to another. It's my spouse. It's my parents. It's my children, my siblings, my classmates, fellow church members. They test our patience, and sometimes we feel like we can't endure them. We want to turn on them. And then we are told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity suffereth long. Literally, love is patient. And the context there is not that we have to be patient with God and his providence, but the context of 1 Corinthians 13 is, here are all these people in your life, and God is saying, now this is to be characteristic of your life of faith, that you love them and you're patient with them. Ephesians 4, verse 2 tells us that we are to walk according to the calling wherewith God has called us. How? With meekness, and we're going to talk about that again later on, and then long-suffering, or patience, forbearing one another in love. So that you and I are to look at the people in our lives and even the trouble that they might cause for us and say, now I need to respond not to these people, but to the God who has put these people in my life. He's the creator of these people. He gave them existence. He's also the God who, in providence, is controlling their lives and my life. He's put them before me. And even the troubles that they cause, the grief that they bring to me, that's under the sovereign hand of God. And God says to me in his word, you may not treat them how you want to treat them. And here's probably the more important point, recognizing the hand of God, that he is in control of their life and your life, you may not respond to them without God in your thinking, according only to how they treat you. He hit me. And I'm going to respond to him. No, he hit me, and God is his God and my God. And I have to respond in light of that. And so I have to hear God say to me, I don't give you the right to be vengeful. I don't give you the right to say, you hit my cheek, I'll hit your cheek. And that is what we have to tell ourselves when we are interrupted by a child or a coworker. God has placed this person in this moment of my life when I don't want them to be there. And I have to respond to his providence with patience. And this is the attitude that we must have towards circumstances as well. Maybe it's not other people who are causing adversity in your life, but maybe it's just the hard circumstances. And this is what you have to confess again. These hard circumstances are the hand of God in my life. Why is there no rain? I'm not going to blame the weatherman. I have to recognize, not blaming God, but I have to recognize that comes from the hand of God. Why is there sickness? I cannot blame the doctor. I have to recognize this comes from the hand of God. And then if you want to look at people in this connection, not that people are causing you adversity, but that there might be relationships that you want to have that you don't have. Why don't I have a spouse? Why don't I have children? These are hard circumstances. The attitude of patience says that come from my Father. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7 says that we are to endure sufferings, literally, be patient in sufferings. That is, all kinds of circumstances that are painful. Providence tells me, in his power, God has given me these circumstances, and I have to be patient with his way for me in my life. So that's the attitude of patience. I am going to see that God is in control of my life and respond to him. But that's not everything. Merely saying God is sovereign. No, we have to deal with what David says in verse 14 here. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Patience is not merely saying God is sovereign over everything that's happening in my life and in the world, but patience is saying, and he has promised good. Why do I wait? Because I have faith that says, I not only wish, but I am confident, I believe that this adversity is going to end. And I'm waiting on God to bring it to an end. And I believe that all adversity one day is going to come to an end. And by faith, I'm waiting on God to wipe away all adversity. And I believe that when all adversity is wiped away, there's going to come a day when it's only glory and bliss for me. David has that in mind. He speaks of, I had fainted unless I had believed to see God, see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the land of the living, where I've had so much suffering, I see the goodness of God, and I'm waiting, verse 14, for when the suffering is gone and the glory comes. So you and I wait sometimes, maybe in poverty for the Lord to give more money, maybe in sickness for the Lord to give health. In this life, he might do that. But ultimately, our hope is in the life to come. We are waiting, yes, for death and life after death, but ultimately for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, and David is expecting this, my enemies are attacking me. And what is David doing? Is he seeking revenge? No. He's patiently putting it in the hands of the Lord. And when Christ comes, he will take vengeance. He will take revenge on Satan and all the wicked. When he comes, he will put an end to sin. When he comes, he will put an end then to droughts and to poverty and to sickness. When he comes, he will give us the glory that Romans 8 verse 18 says, you think you have heavy affliction now, that glory is going to outweigh that. Wait for that. Wait for that. And know this too, when you're waiting. 1 Corinthians, or actually 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 says, your affliction is for a moment. Now I know some of you are feeling like, this is a moment? I've been dealing with adversity after adversity, as I said in the introduction, for years, 7, 8 years. And some of you, decades. But then we remember, don't we, by faith, that God in his providence is working all things to the end of this world. This world's going to end when Jesus comes. And then he's going to bring about a new creation that will never, ever end. Wait for it. It's the attitude of patience that we look to Christ and we find hope in him. He showed us the way, didn't he? He came and he had patience with people, didn't he? He endured Peter and James and John and all the rest, didn't he? He was also even patient with his enemies. He waited. He waited. He knew that in the Lord's time, the triune God was going to take revenge on those enemies. And he was patient with the circumstances that the Lord gave him, wasn't he? You're going to drink that cup. And you're going to endure my wrath. And it was 3 hours of infinite wrath. We can't minimize that. And yet at the same time, that enduring of the wrath of God was before a moment. in the sense that now he is beyond that. And he is now the risen, ascended Lord of glory forever and ever. And we looked at Jesus and we see that the promise of God to us, your suffering is for a moment, afterward glory, it's true. And so this is our attitude, to look to God, to his sovereignty, to Christ, to his promises, to his word. Future glory is coming. And then we live in the light of this. God in his providence is ruling over all things to the end that Christ will come and that we with him will be exalted. Now, what does that look like that we believe this in our lives? And I want to do two things very simply here tonight. First of all, look at the negative side of this. You have patience? Well, what does that mean? You will not do as a Christian who believes in God, believes he's in control, believes that he has promised you a good future. You believe that, you will not then be a stoic. That is really an unbeliever in the sense of, I'm just going to grin and bear it. What will be, will be. Now, you might think that that's not the worst response. And from a certain point of view in the world, that's not the worst response to the providence of God. But it is a response of unbelief. I'm not going to look to God. I'm just going to deal with what's going on in my life and say, well, that's just the way things happen. That's the way the cookie crumbles. No. In your circumstances, in your dealing with people, you're going to respond to God. Secondly, what you will not do is become a defeatist. I don't see any good in this. There's no good outcome in this. I give up. No, you believe in God and that he's in control. And you walk by not sight, but faith in him. Thirdly, you will not become a hedonist. That is a pleasure lover. That is one of the temptations that we face in this world, especially now in the United States of America. You're having trouble in your life. You want to escape that adversity. Look at all the materialism. Look at all the riches of this world. Forget about God, but turn to the world for your comfort. That's, sadly, a very real temptation that we fall into very often. But we will not be hedonists, pleasure lovers, and we will not be complainers, murmurers. That's unbelief against God. I leave it to you to examine yourself and say, now, in the way that I've been responding to what's going on in my life, have I been ignoring that God is sovereign over this? In sinning? In my carefree? Or in my murmuring? Or in my angry response? But if you believe that God is the God of providence who's in control of everything in your life, what you will do, first of all, is you will say, in this circumstance where I'm dealing with this trouble or where I'm dealing with these people, I will set the Lord before me always. That's what David is doing in this psalm. The Lord is my light. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And then verse 4, there's one thing I want. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then 2, verse 8, this is what it's all about. Not seeking deliverance from my enemies, not seeking riches, not seeking a better life. But when thou set, seek ye my face, my heart set unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the heart of patience. I've said before, patience is this. This is the attitude of patience. I'm going to view everything that's happening in the light of God, his sovereignty, his promise. But now here's the life of patience. And no matter what happens to me, I will keep on glorifying the Lord. What was the patience of Job, you ask? This was really it. When all of his sheep and oxen, animals were taken from him, his children were taken from him, his health, his patience was not merely that he didn't get angry, he didn't say, woe is me, I feel really sorry for myself. His patience was this: in this circumstance, I will not curse God. I will bless him. I will praise him. To be able to be in any circumstance, to deal with any person, and say, I'm going to endure this in faith and love for God. That's patience. Am I sick? Patience is the ability to say, my health here is not the most important thing. And have you seen this, beloved? Have you been in a hospital where there's a believer there who's sick, in pain, and dying? And the nurses and the doctors and the family members and everybody there says, he doesn't care about himself. He is testifying to the Lord. That's patience. That's faith in adversity shining forth as trust in God. Is my spouse difficult? Some of us have a difficult spouse. And you say, I don't want to have a difficult spouse. Impatience is to say, and therefore, I'm going to get rid of my difficult spouse. Patience says, that's not my number one priority, dealing with this trouble. My number one priority in this trouble is to set the Lord before me, seek him, and glorify him. Do I have an enemy attacking me, persecuting me unfairly? And do I feel like hitting him back? By nature, yes, I do. But that's not my number one priority here, dealing with this person or this circumstance. God, give me the patience to use this circumstance as an opportunity to bless thy name. So that, first of all, positively, if you confess that your life is under the sovereignty of God, you will put God before you always in your life. And then secondly, you will love others. You will love your neighbor. You will love others in the church. I mentioned turmoil in the church and the fact that I don't want turmoil in the church. I want there to be peace in the church. I want there to be prosperity in the church. But it's interesting, and I've had to learn this, and now I'm thinking of Ephesians 4. God does not tell me to take away all the difficulty in the church and make things peaceful. He tells me to endeavor to keep the peace, but he doesn't tell me I can make the peace. And there's a reason for that. No matter how hard I or any one of you try, we know this, don't we? We cannot take away trouble in our lives, in our families, or in the church. What does God tell me to do in that context? What does he tell you to do in that context? Remember what he said? Be meek. Suffer long, that is, be patient. Forbear one another in love. These are positive virtues that all have to do with building up our patience, beloved. And we ought to say to ourselves, this is what I'm going to pray for. First of all, that I will be able to suffer long. That means that no matter what circumstance or people I am dealing with, I'm able to say, I have made my stand in God, and I am going to continue standing in God. I'm not going to turn away from him, and I'm not going to turn to any of my own way of dealing with the situation. I can go through hardness or adversity, suffer it. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to seek revenge. I'm not going to be despairing. I'm going to endure it with gentleness. This is a positive virtue that is a life of living in patience. Gentleness is this: I'm going to be kind in circumstances that are hard or to people who are difficult. That other person might have budged in front of you in the bathroom before church. You come to my home, you can see something like that. And you can see, too, that there is a time when patience needs to be exercised and learned. Gentleness is, even though that other person doesn't deserve it, I'm going to be kind. And then meekness takes that a step further. Even though that other person doesn't deserve it and has done something to me, I'm not going to respond in kind. That's the natural response. Struck my cheek, I'm going to hit his cheek. But meekness is, he struck my cheek, and I'm going to respond by loving him or her and being kind. Beloved, is this not the life of patience that our Lord Jesus Christ lived? He was long-suffering, that is, when trouble came, he stood his ground. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to endure this affliction. And he was gentle. He was kind to undeserving people. He was meek. Instead of striking back, he didn't curse those who cursed him, but he blessed those who cursed him. And that's our salvation. Through the patience of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want this? To be patient? To grow in patience? Doesn't this sound like a beautiful virtue to you? to be able to suffer without anger or bitterness or despair. To be able to suffer, to go through some difficult circumstances or deal with difficult people and yet glorify God and have joy and hope in God. To be able to suffer and still be of use to others in the church. I hope that you begin to see that patience is a very valuable virtue, such that you will begin to say, I desire it, and I am going to pray for it. And now when I think about tomorrow, and I'm thinking that I want my morning coffee, I want patience more than that. And I think about how impatient I get when the sun doesn't shine and I want a sunny day in February or March. No, I need patience more than I need a sunny day. And then when you think of the more difficult things in your life, and you think to yourself, what I need is for those things to go away, begin to say, no, what I need is for God to give me patience to endure these things and to continue to serve Him and others in the church. Ultimately, beloved, I think we will not value patience as a virtue that we need until we look at it this way. Why do I want patience and to be patient more than I want the things on my birthday list? More than I want the other things that I pray for every day, daily bread and so on? Because when God works patience in me through faith in His providence, He's making me more and more like Jesus Christ. And if you love Christ and believe in Him, the longer that you're a Christian, the more you're going to value that more than anything else. What do I want in this circumstance? What do I want when I'm dealing with these people? To be like Jesus Christ. And one way that God makes us more like Jesus Christ is to give us the virtue of patience through suffering under His providential hand. May we be like Jesus Christ more and more, believing in the providence of God, confessing He is in control of all things, thankful in prosperity, patient in adversity. Amen. Father in heaven, Thou hast shown us our need. Thou hast also shown us that Thou art the God who provides faithfully what we need physically, but also spiritually. And we pray that as much as we want our daily bread, that we may want even more to be like Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that in the power of Thy Word and Spirit, Thou wilt mold us more and more to be like Him in patience, in meekness, in gentleness. And we pray, Father, that above all, in the exercise of that patience, we may bring glory to Thy name, but may also be humble and self-sacrificing and helpful to others in the church, and in our marriages, and in our homes. Lord, forgive us our impatience and the way that that comes out in our lives for Jesus' sake. And now, for the sake of peace, keeping peace in all of our relationships and in the church. Give us patience more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.